Just to remind you, this afternoon we are having our open-air songs of praise. If you are able to join us, we gather here at 4 o'clock for prayer, and then we go out and have our service there. Do please join us. Be good to have a good number. Now please turn with me in your Bibles to the passage that Alan read for us a little earlier, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 11. And we're looking this morning at verses 1 to 18. Acts chapter 11, verses 1 to 18. This passage, of course, follows directly from the passage that we looked at last week in chapter 10. And let me just very briefly remind you of what happened in chapter 10, and then the events of chapter 11 we will look at in a moment. In chapter 10, we read about the Apostle Peter, and we read that he was on the coast of Israel in a town called Joppa. And God then met with him and communicated with him in two ways. Because Peter was a Jew, and like the Jews of his day, he had certain cultural and religious practices. And God had a wide ministry for him. Eventually, Peter traveled to Corinth, and Peter traveled to Turkey and preached to what we call Gentiles, non-Jewish people. Now, before he could do that, there were certain cultural and religious practices that had to be dealt with, because Peter held this view that some food was unclean and other food was clean, and some people were unclean and other people were clean. So he avoided the unclean food, and he would have no fellowship with the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. So there in Joppa, God deals with Peter. He shows him a vision to tell him that all food is now clean. And he hears the word of God directly speaking to him. And from that, he then goes into the home of a Gentile, a non-Jewish person. And the rest of the chapter then tells us how he goes into the home of this man Cornelius, and he preaches the gospel to Cornelius, who was a non-Jew, a Gentile, preaches to him and his household, and we are told that God the Holy Spirit came upon Cornelius and those in his household. So Peter then baptized them, and he stayed in their house a number of days. Now chapter 11 then begins with these words, "Now the apostles and the brothers who were throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God." So this news that Peter had gone into the home of a non-Jewish person and had fellowshipped with them and had been eating with them, this news came to the ears of the Jewish believers. And so it says in verse 2, "So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party, the Jewish believers, criticized him." I'll come back to that word. I don't think that's a good translation, but that's what it says there. "Criticized him, saying, 'You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them.'" So there is now in the Church of Jesus Christ, and I'm using that word to mean the church of all believers, not a local church, although the principles here should be applied to difficulties in any one local church. But in the Church of Jesus Christ, there is now a crisis. There is a disagreement. Apostles have disagreed with an apostle, because it says there in verse 1, "the apostles and the brothers." So there is now this crisis, and there is danger of a division here. And if things aren't handled well, this could have led to a huge division in the Church of Christ in those days. You could have ended up with a party of Jewish believers who followed Jewish food laws and Jewish religious customs, and then you had Peter and his party who fellowshiped with everybody. There was this danger that this could happen. And so this crisis has occurred, and that's why I've entitled my sermon this morning, "How to Handle Difficulties in Church Life." Because we find at the end that that crisis has been averted and the church is united and continues united in the book of Acts. So there are some principles here which I think we need to take hold of. It's a very practical passage. I'm not going to be much into doctrine this morning. It's a very practical passage. There is disagreement. Some people feel that this man has done wrong. He has behaved in an unbiblical way. And so they do certain things, and that person does certain things, and the whole thing is resolved. How do we handle difficulties in church life? Well, I want us to notice three things from this passage. And they're all to do with these Jewish Christians, what is called here the circumcised party or the circumcision party in verse 2. The Jewish Christians, in order to resolve this crisis, they did certain things. And they are here as an example to us. So let's look then at three things that they did. I want us to notice in the first place, very simple. I want us to notice in the first place that the Jewish Christians spoke to Peter about the problem. They spoke to Peter about the problem. It says in verse 2, so when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party criticized him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." By the way, I think that word "criticized" is a wrong translation. It's a word that is translated in other parts of the New Testament as having misgivings or to be hesitant. And I think they should have said that the uncircumcision party had misgivings about him and or were hesitant about his actions, and they went and spoke to him. Criticized is a very strong word. It gives you this idea that they attacked him. Well, actually they didn't. The passage actually reveals that there wasn't this head-on collusion where Peter says something, and before, you know how on Radio 4 you have an interview with a politician, and before the guy has finished his answer, the guy is in with his next question, hammering him again. You don't get the impression this is how it is here. So they basically went up to him and they spoke to him, I think, in a very mild and a gracious manner. And they say to him, "Now look, Peter, we've heard certain things about you. We heard that you went into the home of this man Cornelius, who is well known, he's not Jewish. And we've heard that you went into his house, we've heard that you spoke to him, we've heard that you baptized people into his house, in his house rather, and we've heard that you actually stayed and ate with him. And Peter, would you kindly explain what is going on here?" As I say, it's a very simple thing, but actually it's a huge example for us. Do you know why churches get into trouble? Do you know why divisions occur in church with such brutality? Do you know why churches split? And I think some of you know what I'm referring to. Even 20 years later, people are unable to have Christian fellowship with one another. Do you know why this happens? Well, one of the reasons is this. I see somebody doing something, or I hear a person saying something, and to me it appears wrong. There's a problem here. This is not doing, or she is not doing, as he or she should. There's some big issue here. But well, of course, I mustn't speak, you know, because after all, I don't want to offend. Particularly if the person is an elder or a deacon, an office holder, or is a mature Christian, has been a Christian a number of years. Well, I can hardly speak to them, you know. So I keep quiet. And actually, worse than keeping quiet, I go to this brother or this sister and I talk to them. And of course, they then, and of course, it's going to be a very biased report. So they then hear from me, this person did something and it was wrong, it was unbiblical, and they go and speak to that person, and they go and speak to that person. And you know, this is like a volcano. They tell me that before a volcano actually explodes, if you go there decades earlier, you hardly see anything. You might see one or two little signs. because a volcano takes a long time to build up, but the pressure gradually builds up and builds up and builds up, and then finally it blows off the lid and explodes. And in the Epistle to the Hebrews, the writer uses a certain phrase. He talks about the root of bitterness. Because this is what happens. I have a difficulty with somebody, but I don't go and talk to them because I think if I go and talk to them, I'm being ungracious, I'm being unchristian, I'm being unbiblical, I'm being offensive, and this problem, like a volcano, begins to build up, or like bitterness, there is this seed of bitterness that has dropped in, and if I had dealt with it, the seed would have been removed, but I leave it, and of course, like all seeds, it germinates. And it begins to send roots into my heart. And it feeds. And it begins to produce fruit. And before I know it, I have real bitterness in my heart. And I'm talking to everybody about it. Now, this is unbiblical. What these people did was absolutely biblical. There are two passages in the New Testament where Jesus speaks about how we are to handle difficulties that we might have with our brethren. He says in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and speak to him between the two of you, you and him. Somebody does something that is offensive to you. Somebody does something that you think is wrong, you're not happy about it, Jesus says, go and speak to them. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, if your brother offends you, go and speak to them. So you see, twice our Lord has talked about this. If you have a problem with somebody, go and speak to them. Now, I emphasize, I don't think they were being critical. I don't think they were harsh. And Jesus never in any of these instructions says, you must go and slam them. We are to be gracious. And I think the best example of this is the prophet Nathan in the Old Testament. You know this story, one of the most famous stories in the Old Testament, where David has fallen into sin with Bathsheba. And we then read in the book of 2 Samuel that Nathan goes to see David. And I look at that passage and I think Nathan is the perfect example of how we should go and talk to a brother who we think has done something wrong, has done something offensive. Nathan doesn't go and slam David. Nathan doesn't go and say to David, you have sinned with Bathsheba, you've committed adultery, you've committed murder, God has seen it, and God has rejected you, end of matter. Nathan isn't like that. You notice when you read that passage that Nathan goes with one intention, to win his brother, to bring the king to repentance, to bring him back to the Lord. And that's what Jesus instructs in Matthew's Gospel. Jesus says, when there is a disagreement, let me read those words to you. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him your fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you've gained your brother. So you see, this is the intention why you're going. That he might listen to you. And he might repent. Or he might explain his actions, because he may not have done wrong. You may have misunderstood his actions. But at least then, the matter is sorted. You may look at this and you think, this is so simple. Why is he saying this? But you know how it is in church life. And we've all experienced this kind of thing. How we let the volcano build up. How we let bitterness take root. And what a terrible fruit it produces. And you've been in churches and you've spoken to people. Maybe you're on holiday, you go to a church, and after the service you're having coffee and somebody comes and sits next to you. And you get into, and before you get into 5 minutes into your conversation, they're spewing out all manner of criticism against the pastor, against the deacons, against the church, against the organist, and so on. And you sit there and you think, I don't want to hear this. And it's terrible. And you almost feel like saying, excuse me, if you have a problem with somebody, would you mind going to talk to them? Because the devil is very active. And the devil's one great task is to divide the church of Christ. So I bring this to you as a godly example. They had a problem with Peter. And you don't read in verse 2 that they gathered together between themselves and talked about it and gossiped and influenced others against Peter and told everybody else how Peter was wrong. They didn't do that. It immediately says, verse 2, when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcision party spoke to him, saying, you went to the uncircumcised men and ate with them. So that's the first thing they did. They spoke to Peter about the problem. Let us always resolve to do this, to do it graciously. There is no room in the Christian faith for hard, bitter words. Our conversation is to be seasoned with grace. And we are to speak to one another words that encourage and words that build up. Even where the person has gone wrong, it surely must be in a positive way. Can I just point out a few things to you that may help you in your Christian life? We must speak, but we must speak graciously. But then I want us to notice a second thing in the way that these Jewish Christians behaved. We notice in the first place that they went and spoke to Peter. But I want us to notice a second thing. They listened to Peter's explanation. Now again, you may say, well, this is so obvious. Well, of course, what else would they do? Having brought up the matter to Peter, well, of course they would listen. And I say this to you, do you know this is very rare? Sadly, it is usually the case that when a person goes to talk to another person about some problem they have, they speak, and sadly, it's a lot of the time they speak in a very ungracious, a very unchristian manner. They speak in this harsh way. And that is so unbiblical. Read the book of Proverbs, how many times Proverbs speaks about speech. And how we are to be gracious in our speech. So they speak in this harsh way. And the other person begins his explanation. And we've all done this. We're all guilty of this. We're not listening to what they're saying. Even while they're speaking, we're formulating our second attack. That's what we do, isn't it? In our minds, we've listened to the first three or four words. Oh, I see. So his defense is going to be along these lines. Well, I'm going to formulate my second attack so that when he's finished his rubbish, because it's rubbish anyway, when he's finished his rubbish, I'm going to go in with my second attack. And that's what we do. How often have you talked to somebody and then when they come back, you realize they didn't listen to a word you said? While you were talking, they were already thinking the next line. And we do this. While they're talking, we're thinking the next line. But you notice here, and this is why I think the word criticized in verse 2 is wrong. Had they been critical in their attitude, they wouldn't have given Peter time and listened to him and considered what Peter said. They would have been aggressive. The word criticized there indicates aggression. There wasn't aggression here. It says in verse 4, but Peter began and explained it to them in order. Meaning, he arranged all his facts in a very careful order. And he spoke at some length. Most of this passage is Peter speaking and them listening. Now again, this is a superb illustration of what the Bible says. You know what James writes in his letter. And I think this is something we all need to give much attention to. He says, let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Quick to hear, meaning willing to hear, ready to hear. So that when you go to speak to somebody, your idea is not, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Your idea is, there must be some explanation for it, and I want to be willing to hear. I've got my heart and my mind ready for this. I'm willing to listen. And when they speak, I'm listening and I'm considering it and I'm taking account of what they're saying. I'm taking note of what they're saying. This is what they do. And so Peter speaks and Peter talks goes through all the events that happened. And he says, I was in the city of Joppa praying. And in a trance I saw a vision and something like a great sheet descending and so on. So he explains there was this vision. And the vision came from God. And God in this vision explained to me that there isn't now such a thing as clean food and unclean food. These things belonged to the old covenant. And the old covenant is now obsolete. That's a biblical word found in the book of Hebrews. And the new covenant has come. And the new covenant has superseded the old covenant. And the new covenant has a whole new way of working. And we no longer follow the old Jewish food laws of clean and unclean because the new covenant has come. And they listen to this. And Peter then goes on and he talks about how God spoke to him in verse 12. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction, having no discrimination. So he says these brothers came from the home of a Gentile. And they asked me to go with them. And the Spirit told me to go with them, making no distinction. Don't make any discrimination. Because in those days, before Scripture had all been written, God spoke like this to the apostles. Today He speaks to us in His Word. So Peter explains this. And you don't hear of any interruption. It's not like that Radio 4 interview. And it does annoy me. And the guy is making his defense. And he said a few words. And the guy is back in with the next question. And then the next question. And then the next question. And you think, well, if you've asked him a question, give him time to finish his answer. You see. And that's what they do. They've asked Peter a question. Now, Peter probably was meandering in the way that he spoke. He was one of these people who couldn't get to the point directly and probably needed a long time to explain. But they're patient and they listen. And I say this to you, brethren. These are important. I know they're simple points, but I say this to you. If we as a church are to remain a united and a happy and a growing church, if we are to be a church that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ, and we continue to grow in our faith, in our depth of love for Him, in our devotion to Him. Can I commend these examples to you? They had a problem with Peter. They spoke to him. Peter came up with an explanation. They listened. Can I say this? If you have a problem. Now the Bible's way is this. If you have a problem, you think about it. Somebody has done something and it's been a problem to you. You think about it and you think, is this going to be a problem to me? Is it going to be like a volcano? Is it going to be bitterness that is going to take root in my heart? Or is it such a minor matter that I can actually genuinely overlook it? If you can overlook it, well, love covers a multitude of sins. Because we don't want to visit everybody every minute of the day. By the way, you walked in yesterday and you didn't shake hands with me. You just waved and said hello and I was offended. We don't want that sort of thing. You see, it's not going to bother you. But if it is going to be a problem, we have to speak to the person concerned. And when they speak, there must be this, I will listen. And I will listen carefully to what they say. And then the third thing that we notice in this passage, they spoke to Peter, they listened to Peter, and then thirdly, the Jewish Christians recognized the work of God. The Jewish Christians recognized the work of God. Peter gives his explanation. And Peter says, I know I have broken what appears to be Jewish food laws. and I know I have broken what appears to be Jewish biblical customs. I went into the home of a Gentile and I ate food with them. And I ate what you might call unclean food. But here is my explanation. I had this vision to show me all food is now clean, and the Spirit himself spoke to me saying, go to this person's house. And he says in verse 15 that the Spirit of God himself confirmed his actions. Verse 15, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. He says to them, do you remember Pentecost? Do you remember how we were gathered in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost? And do you remember how the Holy Spirit fell upon us? And do you remember there were certain signs when the Holy Spirit fell upon us? We began to speak in tongues. Well, he says, I went into Cornelius's house and I began to speak. And it was deja vu because the Holy Spirit fell on them and they began to speak in tongues. And I thought about this to myself and I thought, but this is exactly the same experience that we had. And how can I now go around saying there are Jewish Christians who are special and there are Gentile Christians who are second class or something like that? Because I could see with my very own eyes that God had blessed them in exactly the same way as he had blessed us Jewish Christians. God had given to them the Holy Spirit just as he had given to us the Holy Spirit. What greater gift can God give than his own Holy Spirit to come and live in the hearts of these Christians? Well, we experienced the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost when he came to us. And we spoke in tongues and we experienced the work of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest gift that God gives to his children. And I saw this in Cornelius's house. The same Holy Spirit came on them in the same measure with the same consequences. Well, how could I now go around saying, I can't stay with these people. I can't have food with them. They're Gentiles. I must distinguish from them. How can I say such a thing? When God has clearly received them and approved of them and has set them apart to be his people. So he explains all this to them. And it says in verse 18, when they heard these things, they fell silent. I think that's a very precious phrase. In other words, they didn't come back straight away with the next line of attack. They didn't say, but Peter, the whole of the Old Testament, Jews, Gentiles, and so on. They didn't do that. They considered the matter. When they listened to what, when they heard these things, they fell silent. That's the first thing they did. They actually thought about it. And having thought about it, look at then the rest of verse 18. And they glorified God, saying, then to the Gentiles also, God has granted repentance that leads to life. So they recognized that this is the work of God. And we need to fall in line with Peter, because God is now at work in the world. Whereas in the Old Testament, he was at work in Israel. And occasionally, the Spirit of God would visit Nineveh. And occasionally, a Gentile like Ruth or Naaman would experience conversion by the Spirit. But those were exceptions. But now in the New Covenant, things are different. God no longer makes distinction. God no longer says, Israel here and the rest of the world. This is what they recognized. They recognized there is one kingdom, there is one church, there is one fellowship, because there is one Lord, and there is one Holy Spirit, and there is one salvation. We make a huge mistake if we start making distinctions within the kingdom of God according to nations, any nation. That is unbiblical. That is against the trend of the Bible. The flow of the Bible is against such things. The Bible makes it very clear, and these people saw it. God makes no distinctions. All his children are precious to him. They are all equally his children, all equally loved, all equally filled with the Holy Spirit, all equally being transformed into the image of Christ, all equally sharing in the inheritance of God through Christ as promised to Abraham. They recognized it. And so the church was now fit and ready for what happened next, because we'll see next week how the church in Antioch became a missionary church. And missionaries were now sent out into the Gentile world. And Gentiles believed and came into the kingdom. And the whole thing changed from being only Jewish to worldwide. Well, friends, I commend these things to you. We still have the vestiges of sin in us. And church life will always have problems in it. There's no point in denying that. And we will always have difficulty with this brother and that sister. And can I commend their actions to you? Go and speak to them graciously. Listen to what they say. And assess everything by the works of God as recorded in the scripture. The word of God is the ultimate authority by which we live. Let's come to him in prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you that we receive such practical instruction from it. We do pray, Lord, for this local church. We pray for the Church of Jesus Christ today worldwide, for those who love the gospel and love the cross of Christ and are saved through that cross alone. We pray, our Father, that you would give us unity. We know that there are genuine differences between us, but help us, Lord, not to be a divided body. We pray particularly for this local church. And we pray that we won't experience divisions. We won't experience infighting. We won't experience, Lord, those things which dishonor your name. Grant, Lord, that we will be a united body to the glory of Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen.